Lord, now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. We need your word, Lord, today more than ever. Thank you for your word. Speak to us now, Lord. Our hearts are open to receive. Our ears are open to hear. Our lives are ready to live. So we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are. We're talking about the glory of God. This is part 5, Is God Enough? So Jesus was praying that we would behold his glory. So we talked about it last week. The street of gold. We talked about the pearly, or the gates of pearls, the 12 gates of pearls, or what we would call the pearly gates. So we're talking about beholding God's glory. Bless you. If it gets too cold, let us know. We'll cut the air off. Amen. It's too cold. All right. Thank you, Brother Tommy. You have not because you ask not. So here we are in Revelation 22 and verse 1. So we're talking about the glory of God, and I was trying to go through it, but I got sidetracked. Someone, Kathy mentioned earlier, I'm all over the place, but I'm always doing too much. So I think this morning I'm trying to do too much, but we'll see how far we can get before we continue this series. Definitely part 6 is next week, Is God Enough? But here we go. Verse 22, it says, and he showed me, talking about Christ, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Wow. This is the glory that Christ left so he could be with us, the glory that's going to be revealed. So just a couple of questions come to mind. Make a note, first off, John 1:29, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as he was referring to Jesus Christ. So we know the Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. So the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeded out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. So as I was going through, I got stuck on water of life. And so as we're talking about the water of life, which we know Jesus is, so I'm asking a question. We're pretty good in English. We're working on our math. So now we're going to work on some science. All right? Right, right. So how many days can you go without water? How many days can you live without water? Okay, about 7 days. All right. Oh, boy. Okay. We're going to have to open up a school after church. How much of your body, percentage of your body, is water? 90. All right. Let me get back to the lesson. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. I see I shouldn't have tried that one. How long can you go without water? It's been, well, first off, they say you can go about 3 weeks without food. Go about 3 to 10 days without water. You can go, if you're doing water, again, and if you're doing water without food, about 3 weeks. But Gandhi went, what, about 21, 22 days or something like that on his fast. Water, no food. 60 to 75% of our bodies is made of water. So here's my next question. You know if it's a trick. No, not a trick question. These are for my science students, my chemistry students, because when I looked up for the elements for water, what's the elements for water? Woo-hoo, there is hope. There is a God. All right. So when I was looking up the word water. So when you see the word water there in Revelation, when I looked it up, it was just some hydro, because we know it comes from hydrogen, two hydrogen, one oxygen, all that. So water was water. I always thought it was something special in the water, but it wasn't. The water was the living. It was the living part of it. And Jesus said he is the living water, so he adds life to the water. So let me ask the question. And this is a trick question. How long can you live without the living water of Christ? There you go. Oh, ho, ho. All right. I feel good now. Yup, yup. All right. I'm ready to rock and roll. All right. So let's take a quick look. Let's go to John chapter 4. So let me tell you again, Jesus is the water of life. That word life, of course, we know in the Greek, it is Zoe, Z-O-E. So your friends named Zoe, they're named after life, or Greek word, which means life. So it's not the water, it's the life, it's the Zoe, and that's translated as the absolute fullness of life, real and genuine life. You can't be alive without the Zoe, and the Zoe comes from Christ. There is a difference between existing and living. If you don't have Christ, you are just existing, but actually you are really dead. You don't have life. There is no life without Christ. It's a hard word, but that's the truth. The world does not want to hear that. We're going to talk about it later on. We don't even have, you can't even call it the living dead, zombies and all. There is no, they're not even living. They're existing. Existing dead. They're not living because life only comes through Christ. So here we are. We go through, did I say John 4? Let me find it. John 4, verse 7. John chapter 4 and verse 7. Jesus meets the woman at the well. Whole lot of dynamics going on, right? So there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. So we got some problems already because Jesus is a Jew. She's from Samaria. They have nothing to do with each other. He's a man. She's a woman. They have nothing to do with each other. Jesus breaks all the rules. We already found out how Jesus doesn't discriminate. 2 weeks ago, we found him talking to and healing a blind beggar and then going to eat with a rich sinner. And now he's going to meet with a woman of Samaria. Verse 8. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy some food. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, man, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We don't even... Whoever it is, whether it's the South Koreans and the North Koreans, or whether it's the whoever, the Crips and the Bloods, they have nothing to do. We have nothing to do with each other. We hate each other. We don't like you. Don't talk to me. If I see you, I want to kill you. And Jesus breaks all the rules. Make a note, this is always speaking to the character of God. God doesn't discriminate. The world tries to flip the script. And if you are a Christian, they say that you're a bigot. You discriminate. You hate people and all. You hate speech and all that. That's totally contrary to the word of God. Don't let the world dictate the word to you. You tell them what the word says. Jesus never discriminated. He broke all the religious rules. Make a note, Jesus is not looking for perfection. He is looking for connection. Jesus is not looking for perfection. He showed that with the blind beggar, the rich sinner, and now the Samaritan woman. He's looking for heart-to-heart connection with those that he created. That's why he breaks all the rules. People want to set all these boundaries and limits and rules and put you in a box and put you in labels and brands and all that. God breaks all that down. Doesn't discriminate. He desires that we would be with him. That's what he told us in John 17 and 24. Look at this. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, underline that. It's the gift of God. Salvation is a free gift. You can't work for it. Underline it is if you know the gift of God. And who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Underline living water. So it's not in the water, because the same word water, hydro, whatever it was in the Greek, is the same word in Revelation. It's the same word in John. It just means water. But now when you break down the word living, underline living, the word living is active, blessed, fresh, powerful, strong, efficient, to enjoy real life. He's going to give us real water, real life. Active, blessed, fresh, powerful, strong, efficient, to enjoy real life. That's what living means. That's the living water that only Jesus Christ can give. There's a lot of counterfeits out there, but it's not true and living water. You can drink that vitamin water, but it's not living water. It's not the same. It might rehydrate your body, but it's not going to rehydrate your soul. Only that comes from Jesus Christ. Verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. You can't even get water out. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. It's only temporary. Vitamin water is only temporary. Gatorade is only temporary. Your filtered water is only temporary. Verse 14, but so whoever drinketh of the water that I should give him shall never thirst. You will never need to drink living water again. Remember, it's a free gift. It's the gift of God. If y'all know, if you would have known the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, that's why in verse 14, but whoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting without end. You have everlasting, active, blessed, fresh, powerful, strong, efficient, absolute fullness, and real, genuine Zoe. Oh my goodness. A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It never, the Zoe. And so we can experience that now on this side and then forever. It never ends. When you get the living water with Christ, it never ends. You always have it. When we transition, we just continue because it never ends. The living water that Jesus gives, it never ends. It never runs out. It's a hard word. Everything else is counterfeit. I'm studying this and I'm trying to say, okay, Lord, I believe this, but it is just hard. Because there's so many temptations and distractions out there trying to make me think that I really have life, but if I'm not in Christ, I don't have life. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Okay. Either we're dead or we're alive. That's it. The people on your job, either they're dead or alive. The students in your class are either dead or alive. At the gym, they're working hard on their bodies, but they're working on a dead body if they don't have Christ. That's why it's an urgency. That's why we got to get out and spread and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because people are out there dying. I intentionally listened to the news this morning and found out and just listened for the people who died last night who had no idea and definitely didn't plan on it. And there's no way around it. It's only one person that conquered death, and that's Jesus Christ. You cannot make yourself alive because you're dead without Christ. Amen. Let me say that again. You cannot make yourself alive. Where was that at? Let me find it. I wrote it down somewhere. Take a look at John. So go to John 2:19 since we're there. I was having a lot of, man, I was like, whoa, this is, I told you I'm all over the place. I'm trying to do too much. let's see, where do I want to start? I got a little time, so I might be able to squeeze this in. Trying to do too much, right? Let's start at 13, John 2:13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves. This is all a bonus, right? So just check this out. All that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. So they're coming in, they're making sacrifices. You know, you got to make some type of sacrifice for your sin. Somebody say amen. Otherwise, you are still in your sins. So then they had to, you know, confess their sins, and they had to kill a dove or a turtle or a pigeon or an ox or a sheep or a goat or something like that. So you had the people in the temple, pretty much in the church, and they're selling and they're just ripping people off. And when he had made a scourge, Jesus said, hold up. He made a little whip, small cords. And that's something. See, that's what people think. Jesus was all like tiptoeing through the tulips and he loves everybody. And he's walking around and he's hugging and he's kissing and he's love. Well, God loves everybody. Okay, you can fool yourself if you want to. Jesus saw what was going on and he went outside and he made a little whip. Oh, this is what's going on in the church? I'll be right back. Okay. See, it's not about the money. When we're giving, it's not about the money. It's about the condition of the heart. Man, they're ripping people off in church. You know? I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was saying she's just tired at the church she's at. They're wearing her out because every Sunday it's three offerings. Jesus is probably outside making that whip, getting ready to tear somebody up. And that's why it gives us a bad name when we're taking three and four offerings. For what? Either you trust God or you don't. Amen. If it ain't happening, if God's not in the place, then shut it down. You know, here we only take one offering. We don't even harp on it. We trust you. Give. If you want your life to be blessed, if you want God to rebuke the devourer for your sake, maybe in October or something I'll do a lesson on giving and teaching that. In 5 years, I've never done that. Maybe I will. It's not necessary. People give. Sometimes we're not educated on it. Maybe I'll do it for that, what the word says. Because we've been just so deceived so much that we don't even want to give. But it's not about that. They're ripping people off. So let's get to the good part. So Jesus, he go outside. He saw what was going on in the church. He went outside and made a little whip. And he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Get your butt out of here. Kicked over tables. If you think God's just going to let you slide with stuff, people thinking God is love, he is. But I tell you, he's going to get that whip too. And if you think that you're going to be dead and you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, it's not going to happen. Because life comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Verse 16, and he said unto them that sold, get these things out of here. You're making my father's house a house of merchandise. What is wrong with you? Don't come in here trying to rip people off. Bless you. Come in here trying to take things from people. And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house is eating me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou us unto us, seeing that thou does these things? This is where I was trying to go, verse 19. Made a long story longer. Jesus said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Make a note of that. Oh, but look what it says. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Verse 21. But he spoke of the temple of his body. So Paul talks about us being the temple of God. He said, in 3 days, you tear this down, I'm raising it up. Because Jesus has life. You cannot bring yourself to life. You and I, we can't save ourselves, and we can't make ourselves alive. Only God can do that. Jesus is the only one to conquer death. He's dead, came back to life in 3 days because he has all power like that. Nobody else can do that. No other God, no other man can make claim and prove it. That's what separates Jesus Christ. So when you're going out with this hard word saying, if you don't have Christ, you're not even alive. People are going to look at you like they're crazy. But Jesus Christ proved it. He resurrected on that third day, and as much as you have these Jesus haters out here, if he didn't resurrect, you better believe they would have brought that body out like, look, here's your dead God right here. You think they would have let this go on for 2017 years as much as they hate Christians and hate Christ, but they can't deliver a body because it's on the right hand of God.
Hallelujah.
He's alive and well, resurrected on that third day, just like he told them he would. That's what separates Jesus Christ from everybody else. That's why when we go out with a hard word, people got to deal with it. They don't want you to talk. They don't want you to speak. Why? Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Well, before we go there, verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They didn't understand it then. Let's go to Ephesians 2. They didn't understand it then. But after he was resurrected, say, remember, he told us he was going to resurrect in 3 days, and he did it. That's why they couldn't shut him up. That's why we have a church now. Every time you pass a church, you have to remember that something happened. Why is there a church? Because Jesus Christ resurrected. And again, for those of us who was fortunate enough to go to that empty tomb, there's no denying it. The tomb is empty. Jesus is the only one who can make himself alive. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened, talking about God, Paul's telling him, and you hath he quickened, hath he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. God has made us alive. Our trespasses, our errors. He's called it side slips. I don't even know what a side slip is, but I know how it can happen. Amen? Trespass, errors, side slips, fall, faults, and offenses. You were dead in those things. Sin, a missed mark, your wrong, your violations, your mistakes. Dead, deceased, your last breath, you're lifeless. You're deceased. And all your errors and missteps and side slips. And violations. That's something. But God made us alive through Christ Jesus. So how long can you live without Christ? You never have. You've always been dead. You've always been deceased. We talked about it before. You go to the club, you're the best dressed zombie in the club. The best dressed zombie at the party. Hey, folks, it's a tough. You can dress it up. What's the saying? You can put lipstick on a pig. But at the end of the day, it's still a pig. It is. You can put a suit. You can put a suit on yourself. You can put a dress, jewelry, all that. But if you don't have Christ, the best dressed dead person around. So the question is, God enough? All right, here we go. Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Whew. We know that to be Satan. He controls the airwaves. So watch TV, and I guarantee you within the first 5 minutes, you're going to see exactly what they're talking about. Controls the airwaves. Listen to the music that the youngsters are listening to. The radio waves. And for some of you, even the microwave, because I've seen what you eat. Amen. All right, just kidding. All right. So, but all the influence, we walked according to that. It was our thing. It says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, being influenced by Satan himself. Family, I don't know. It's a lot going on. Now we know that our kids have access to social media. That's part of the prince of the power, the airwaves. Take a look at some of the stuff that's on social media. Ask your kids, just, hey, show me some foolishness that's on Instagram. See who's influencing them. Parents, all I'm saying is we got to monitor. We have to be aware of what's going on. We can't let a dead world influence us that are alive. We have to start influencing the world. You've got to be aware of what's going on. Verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation. So God is saying, we were all part of this. We had our conversation, our conduct in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, naturally, the children of wrath, even as others. Children of wrath. I looked up wrath. Wrath is children of anger, impulse, violent passion, any violent emotion, but especially anger, vengeance. I'm going to get, watch and see. I'm going to get them for this. Naturally, that was us in times past, but I love verse 4. But God. Bless you. But God. We were dead, thinking we were alive, barely existing, thinking we had it going on. But God. Make another note of the character of God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead. See, it's right there. We were dead in our sins. We weren't even alive. We thought we had it going on, but we weren't even alive. But God, who was rich in mercy because of his love, because he loved us so much, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Underlined, by grace are you saved. We can't even take credit for it. If we wanted to, we can't take credit for it. Greek word for grace is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Because of God's, here's the word, beautiful, God's, here's the grace of God. Sweetness, favor, joy, pleasure, loving kindness, delight, charm, loveliness, goodwill, merciful kindness, benefit, a gift of grace. Because of God's favor, his pleasure, his sweetness, his delight, his love, he said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make them alive through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus in John 17:24 said that where we are, he desires that where he is, that we would be with him. You can't make yourself alive. I have one of these read this. People who tell you they want to get myself together. Well, I got a bunch of read. Read this, what? Okay, all right. Family, make a note. True life comes through Jesus Christ. Don't exchange or compromise your true life in Christ for a dead, decaying, deceptive, and lost world. Is God enough? God is rich in mercy and his great love. Even when we were dead, God made us alive through Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait to get your life together. God wants to make you and I alive right now, today. God is ready to make the transaction now. Matter of fact, you can't get yourself together without God because you aren't even alive. Dead people can't make themselves alive. They don't have the power or the ability. Only God can bring life to dead things. Only God can bring you life and help you get yourself together in him. But is God enough? Then a side note says, Harry Houdini, the great, what was he, a magician. Every Halloween, they go around his grave and they wait for him to escape from the grave. They still do it. I know. You and I know it's not going to happen. It's appointed for man to die once and after that, the judgment. We know that. But his followers in this deceptive world, they go and wait and have a big camp out. And they don't know, as Brother Derek would say, he's having barbecue. He's at the barbecue party in hell, unless he's been saved. He got a bunch of tickets to the barbecue party in hell. They're being passed out every day. Don't take them. Don't be deceived. He can't leave if he wanted to. He's at the barbecue forever. And it's not fun. They wait every Halloween for him to escape, to make the great escape. It's not going to happen. Make a note so you can remember that these are the characteristics of God. The grace, the favor, the kindness. When the dead world tries to tell you that God doesn't love or care about you and I, or how could God allow this to happen? Remind yourself of who God is through the scriptures. Don't allow the dead world to influence your relationship with the God who has given you real life. Remember, God isn't looking for perfection. God is looking for heart-to-heart connection. But is God enough? Verse 7, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Verse 8 is a kicker. For by grace, for by the sweetness of God, by the love of God, by the joy of God, by the pleasure of God, you and I are rescued. Through our faith, through our trust in God. And not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. That's what Jesus said. If you understood the gift that is in front of you, you would ask me for living water and you would never thirst again. Family, as much as we would like to, we can't even take being saved and rescued because we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't make ourselves alive. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody will ever be able to brag, I made myself alive. I saved myself. You saved yourself. Imagine we could save ourselves. That's what you're saying, man, I wouldn't even come to church. I would tell you, save yourself like I saved myself. Now, I ain't got time for y'all. I saved myself. Why don't you save yourself? Thank God he set it up the way that he did. Nobody can take her. Nobody could boast in their salvation. If we don't humble ourselves before God, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the existing dead because we're not living. It's a hard word, but it's the word of God. Verse 10, let's finish with this. Well, we'll wrap it up. First closing with this. For we are his workmanship. We are his creation. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, talking about our lifestyle. Now, I paraphrase that. It says, God has created and prepared a good work for us to accomplish through Christ Jesus as we are alive in Christ. You can't accomplish the good work through Jesus if you're not alive in Christ. Make a note, family. Remember, we all have the same agenda, to seek and save those that are lost, to make disciples and build the kingdom of God. But our methods are different. Same agenda. As a church, we have to have the same agenda to try and infect and affect this lost and dying world. That has to be our agenda, but our methods are different. And that's perfectly fine. Because you have people in your sphere of influence and your circle of influence that I'll never meet, and vice versa. Verse 10, look at it again. God has created and prepared a good work for us to accomplish through Jesus Christ as we are alive in Christ. Have the same purpose and the same agenda. As a Christian, you should never have to ask, what is my purpose in life? Your purpose in life is to build the kingdom of God, make disciples, seeking to save that which is lost. Now, you might ask God, how do I do that? But you got purpose. You have to be alive in Christ to accomplish your purpose. Other than that, you're just chasing your tail. Let's go back to Revelation. Let's finish. Revelation 22. Let's finish for this morning. So here we go. And he showed me, verse 22 and verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life. Now we know what that water of life is. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being the living water. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Whoa. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Somebody underline the tree of life. Which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And remember, we talked about that word nation means every tribe, every kindred, every person. It's going to be some of everybody in heaven. So if you're a racist and all that kind of stuff, you probably ain't going to, you ain't going to be there. Because we all going to be there. But the beautiful thing, in the midst of the street of gold, either side of the river was the tree of life. So we got the living water, we got the tree of life. And I can't even tell you about the tree of life because we're out of time. But that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Going to pick it up next week. You don't want to miss the connection. And it's cold, Brother Tommy. We don't want to freeze. It's too late. I mean, service almost over. We didn't froze y'all out. Kept you awake. So, but let's just close in prayer. Spend just a few minutes. And it's as a pastor, when you're studying a word like this, and God is talking about the people we see without Christ, whether it's our friends or our family, not even alive. Because, Lord, that's tough, but yes. It's tough, but it's the word. God, I'm praying that we would have an urgency at least to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. Yes, Lord. That at least we won't walk around deceived thinking that people got it going on who ain't even alive. We're not going to even talk about dating, Lord. We'll do that next time if you dating a dead person. We'll talk about that next time, Lord. Have mercy. But God, don't let us be deceived. Let us be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Let us be sober. Let us be vigilant, Lord, in these last days, not letting this dead, dying, decaying world influence us as living new creations in Christ. God, we need your wisdom to navigate daily more than ever. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us so we can go out and share with boldness just like the disciples did. So I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray that you open their eyes to see, their spiritual eyes to see, and their spiritual ears to discern. And not be deceived by this lost and dying and decaying world. That either you're alive in Christ or you're dead in your sins. And it's only two types of people. The alive and the dead. God, help us to share the gospel with urgency. And help us live it with accuracy. And let us walk it with conviction. Lord, I pray maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never even accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If you want to be alive this morning, alive in Christ, truly alive, active, blessed, efficient, powerful, strong in the Spirit through Jesus Christ, if you want to accept Christ this morning, be truly alive in God, go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I just need to get it together. Just been kind of side slipping, whatever that means. But that was the word in the Greek. I've just been side slipping and slip sliding. You want to rededicate your life this morning? Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Thank you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I just haven't made the decision, and today I want to make the decision. Just feel the presence of God from the worship to the word. It's a place I'd like to be and grow and be part of a family and have accountability and have a church home. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you. Lord, we accept the challenge. It's tough as it is, Lord, we accept it. Not to be business as usual, not to be mediocre, not to be status quo, but just like Zacchaeus, to go above and beyond to connect with you and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. We accept the challenge this morning. Now, as we leave this place but not your presence, pray for traveling graces and journey mercies. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.